The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas Emor. ויאמר השם אל משה אמור אל הכהנים בני אהרן ויאמרת עליהם לנפש לא יטמא בעמוד. Hashem said to Moshe, say to the Kohanim, the children of Aaron, and give them the following instructions. And what we have that follows is all types of mitzvahs which are given specifically to the Kohanim. The Kohanim were niskatshu b'mitzvah shesedus, were given extra mitzvahs and an extra dimension of kedusha, of sanctity. And it was their prime responsibility to be meshores, to serve in the Mishkan and the Migdosh, in the sanctuary that was in the desert, and ultimately the Beis HaMikdosh in Yerushalayim. And the ultimate purpose of the Migdosh and the Mishkan was to bring Israel together, to unite them between themselves and between Avinu Shebishomayim, our Father in Heaven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Avodah, Mitzvus Asei La'aseis Bayis La'Shem, the positive commandment to build a home for Hashem, Muchon Liyesh, what is its purpose? A place which is set aside for Makrivin Bei HaKorbanis, in which we bring sacrifices to Hashem. Korban is from the word Korev, to bring close. By bringing sacrifices to Hashem, this united Israel with Hashem. V'chaygigin Elov Gimel Pomim Bashono. And a place where Kol Yisrael would come to three times a year, like it states, Shleishim Ponim Bashono Yeroeh Kol Shkurcha Espenei Yisrael Espenei Adon, that three times a year everyone has to come together in this place. This would bring all of Yisrael together. And this is how it's explained. This is how we have sources in the Torah for this, and in the Midrashim. And it is for this reason it was Nesru Abomesh, before the time of the Mishkan, when the Mishkan was not in a permanent place, or before the time of the Beis HaMikdosh. So Hutra Abomesh, everyone could build his own boma, his own altar, and everyone served HaKadosh Baruch Hu individually. But whenever the Mishkan was in a permanent place, or for example when it ever was in the desert, which was considered a permanent place even though it was traveling, or after the Beis HaMikdash was established, was Nesru HaBomesh. Individual altars were forbidden. So the Kohanim, who it was their duty, their prime responsibility to care for the Mikdosh, the sanctuary, and to serve in the Mikdosh, and the purpose of the Mikdosh was, like it states, Mikdosh Echot, Mishkon Echot, Achdus, oneness, to unite Israel together and to unite them to Hashem. So they had this quality, the children of Aaron, and gave them higher dimensions in Kedusha, and therefore they were given more mitzvahs. And this is what we learn in the Mishnah in Masechet Oves, in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis. Hillel v'Shamai kiblu mehem Hillel Eimer. Hillel, the great sage Hillel, said, "Hevi mi talmidov shel Aaron, you shall make yourself disciples of Aaron. Learn from Aaron." What was his quality? Ohev Shalom, He loved peace, the Radev Shalom, and he pursued after peace. Oives Abriyos, he loved the people, Umakarvan LeTorah, and he would bring them close to Torah. He was a person of Shalom, he brought people together, and he brought the people close to Hashem, Makarvan LeTorah. Now, if we look into the Ovis Reb Nosson, this is the commentary on the Medrash on Mesecht Ovis by Reb Nosson on this Mishnah, which elaborates on Aaron, we see that. Just looking for it. He did this in a strange way. Mishnah tells us in Perek Yud Beis, Os Gimel, Ohev Shalom Ketzad. How should one love Shalom? Melamet Yodom Ohev Shalom Yisrael Ben Kol Echad VeEchad Kederech Shearan Ohev Shalom Ben Kol Echad VeEchad. One should love peace and be a promoter of peace between everyone in Israel, like Aaron was. And then it says on Aaron two things, that he was an Oiv Shalom, Bisholom Bimisho Holach, Iti, and also it states for Rabbi Meheshiv Mi Oven. He kept many people back from sin. Now how did he do all of this? Kishoya Aaron Mahalech Bederech, when Aaron would be walking, Pogabai Beodim Rosho, if he would meet a Rosho, a person who was not a good person, who was a balaveira, would do all types of aveiras, sins, but nosan le shalom. He would go out of his way to say shalom, to greet this individual. The mocher, tomorrow, bike sheise ish lavar aveira. The next day, this person wanted to do an aveira. Omar, so he said, oili heyach esa einai achar kach. How can I do such an aveira? Aaron, the great individual, the Kohen Gadol, the great priest, how can I go do this aveira after Aaron went and greeted me and gave me shalom? Nimtzo eis ish meneatz min aveira. This person therefore went through the aveira. This is how he was Rabbi Meheshiv Mei Oven. Many people he kept back from sin. This is a posuk in Malachi Beis. Then it states, how did he bring peace between people? Two people had a quarrel. Aaron would hear about it. He would go and he would sit down next to one. And he would say, Omale Bini, he would say, my son, I was by your friend the other day, and he's tearing out his hair. He's tearing out his hair, he's ripping up his clothing, and he's saying that I did wrong to this other person. How will he ever forgive me? It was my fault. And then he would go to the other person and tell the same thing. He would say that I was by your friend, and he's tearing out his hair, he's all upset. How will he ever forgive me? And then the two people would go to each other and they would make up, they would shake hands, they would hug each other, and this is how he brought peace between people. That's why it states that when Aaron died, it states V'yivku es Aaron Shleishim Yom Kol Beis Yisrael. When Moshe died, it states that they wept for him 30 days. But when Aaron died, it states, Kol Beis Yisrael. Everyone wept. Even the Rishoyim wept. Everyone. And it states, men and women wept because he used to bring peace, go out of his way to bring peace between man and his wife. Ve'od kama alofim hoyi b'Yisrael shenikru shmam Aaron. There were many, many, during Aaron's time, there were many children who were named Aaron. Shilmole Aaron la bozeh la'elam. Because if it wasn't for him, so these children would never have been born. Meisim sholem einish li'ishtayom mizdarim zeim zeim v'yokeirin shem ha'yeled ha'yelud ashmai. He brought couples back together. Because of that, they had children. And in a show of gratitude, they would name their children Aaron. That's why it states, Vayivkos Aaron Shleishim Yaim Kol Beis Yisrael. Everyone wept when Aaron died. The Binyan Yeshua, one of the commentators, he asks a question. He says, how did Aaron give Sholem to Orosho? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to give Sholem to Orosho. So he says, you're not allowed to give Sholem to Orosho for no particular reason, because Sholem is Hashem's name. But if it's for the purpose of Hashem, then you're allowed to. And he would do this in order to influence these people to do good and to set themselves back from Avera. And he also brings that the, we see here Aaron was saying an awful lot of lies. He would go to the person and say that the other one is all upset and he's tearing his hair out, and he said that it's my fault, and really it never happened. He says, why did he do that? Because this is what the Gemara says, that it's muter u'mitzvah. Not only is it permitted, but it's a mitzvah. It's a great mitzvah to lie the manah shalom, to bring peace between people. This is what the Gemara in Yevamah says. And he goes on to explain that the quality of Aaron was shalom, like we're saying. The quality of Moshe was emes. Moshe was the dayan, he was the judge of the people. And Moshe was the great mechiach, he would rebuke the people. They were doing wrong, he would tell them what they're doing wrong. And this was the quality of emes. When you have that quality, you can satisfy everyone. You have friends and you have enemies. The quality of Aaron was shalom. And the Gemara brings that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to create the world, Emes came to Hashem and said, don't create the world. Because man is kula sheker, man is deceit. But it states that for the sake of peace, he set aside Emes. And this was Aaron's quality. Now, we see something here though. Not only was he a man of peace, but we see that he was a man of orma, of cunningness. He used all types of cunningness in which to achieve this. He had a whole plan, an whole strategy, that this person is a Rosha. But if I, the Kohen Gadol, will pat him on the back, then tomorrow he'll be a different person. He won't do an Aveda. And so on and so on. He was a man of cunningness, of orma, with all types of plots and strategies, but not plotting for the sake of evil, but plotting for the sake of good. Where do we find this? We have a source for this in the Gemara in Brachos, Dav Yud Zayin, which brings a source from this for this from Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, in Mishlei Posuk Perek Tes Vav Posuk Aleph. He once gave a shir on this a number of years ago. It wasn't on this parsha, on a different parsha. But this is a very important principle for us to know. The Gemara brings in Masechta Brachos and have you join Margala Bepuma Dabaya. Margala Bepuma Dabaya, we have what says Omar Abaya, which means Abaya said, and then Margala Bepuma Dabaya, which means Abaya always said. These were certain things that Abaya always would say. La'ilam yehi odam orum bi yira. A person, when it comes to Yiras Hashem, when it comes to serving Hashem, he has to be cunning. He has to go with plots. He has to plot. He has to go with a strategy. He has to be cunning. Many people feel that, oh, you go out into the business world, you have to be cunning. You have to plot. You got to deal with interaction with people. Politics. Oh, there for sure. A great politician, or a great statesman, or diplomat. You have to be very well versed in backroom politics. But when it comes to Yiras Hashem, there you go straight. Abaya says no. When it comes to Yiras Hashem, you need even more wisdom, more plotting. But who do you have to plot with? So Rashi says, you know who you have to plot with? No, actually Rashi doesn't bring it, but the one you have to plot with is the Yetzer Hara. Rashi brings Orum b'yira laharim b'chol minei olma l'yiras beire. When it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, fulfilling his Torah and his mitzvahs and studying his Torah, you have a very clever force against you, and that's the Satan, and that's the Yetzer Hara, and you have to be able to outfox him. You have to be able to deceive him. You have to go with a great strategy, and that's Rashi says laharim b'chol minei aroma. Use all types of plotting, all types of strategies, all types of deceptions, liyiras beire, in order to come to fear Hashem and fulfill our mitzvahs. And this deals whether we're dealing with people or whether we're dealing with ourselves, because the Yetzer Hara comes to make machlekes between people, and it comes to make machlekes between a person himself and Hashem. And he carries on. Oh, where's the source for this? So he brings the source it states in Mishlei Perek Tesvov Posek Aleph Man Erach Yoshiv Chemo Var Etzev Yale Of. If a person all of a sudden is confronted by someone who comes and starts to shout at him and becomes very angry at him, it's a friend or a relative or a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a spouse, a boss, employee, all of a sudden someone is heaping abuse and assault, being abusive. So what is the end? He's not right at all. So what is the natural reaction? The natural reaction is to shout back and put him in his place. Shlema Melech said Man erach yoshiv chemo. When someone starts to shout at you and they're very angry, you want to stop him, shout back is the worst thing you can do. Answer him softly. Speak very softly to him. Speak very softly and very nicely, and you will totally disarm him. You will totally neutralize all of his wrath. Varetzev, but if you fight fire with fire, you answer him back with other types of abuse, yale off, then the anger will flare up even more. Now Shlomo Melech is telling you, what is he telling you? He's giving you good instruction that you have to use your seichel when it comes to dealing with people. This naturally can be incorporated in everything, but it can be incorporated in business, it can be incorporated in the marketplace, it can be incorporated in politics, in everything. But even when it comes to have good interactions with people merely for the sake of shalom, this is the way it has to be done. That if someone is going to attack you verbally and become angry, you can diffuse that anger by answering him very softly and very kindly. Manerach Yoshiv Chema. If you answer him softly and kindly, then the wrath will be diffused, be neutralized. Varetziv. But if you answer him back with anger, yale off, then he will become even more angry and the quarrel will flare up even more. And the Gemara learns a klal from here. Shlomo Melech, he was King Solomon, was the Chochem Mikol Odom, the wisest of all. He's not telling us one particular principle. He's telling us an all-encompassing principle. That whenever it comes to trying to achieve something, which is a mitzvah, or which is Yiras Hashem, then the person has to go with great seichel. The person has to go with great chochmah, great orma, with cleverness and with cunningness. And that's what the Gemara brings. And this was Margala Bapuma. This is not something that Rava said, Baya said once. He would always say that. La'olam, always ye odam oram b'yirah. A person has to be very cunning and very plotting when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, otherwise he won't get anywhere with it. Manerach meshiv chema. Mar b'sholam imechov. Vim krevov. Vim kol odam. And then there's a few other statements following, and it seems that they are connected with what he initially said. And Mashah brings two explanations, and this is the second explanation. He learns they are connected. Therefore, Mar B'Sholem, he should always go out of his way to make peace with people, with his brothers, with his family. In other words, especially with one's family, he should always try to make more shalom, more shalom. Afilim nochri shebeshuk. And even with the non-Jew, with the goy in the marketplace. Kideisha ov lamala v'nechpun lamato. V'ya mekubal al abriyosh. Now it seems like he's saying like this. In order that he should be beloved by Hashem, and he should be beloved in this world, and then v'ya mekubal al abriyosh, people will listen to what he has to say. In other words, a person wants to be an influence on other people. He wants to teach them. He wants to show them what is the right way, how to serve Hashem. The way to do it is not merely to come to them and tell them, this is what you have to do. You're allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do this. This is something that we have to listen to very carefully, because unfortunately in our generation there are great miksholish. Many are tripped up this way. Many times someone comes and he learns a certain mitzvah, he learns halacha. He comes to his family or he comes to someone else and he tells him, this is what has to be done. He says, you want people to listen to you? You want to have influence? The mitzvah is not to say. The mitzvah is that it should be received. You want to have influence? Then you have to be someone that they will listen to. You have to be beloved to them. You have to be nechmad lemato. You have to be someone who is very dear to them in your eyes. And then dvar of mekubal al abriyas. Then people will accept with what you have to say. And how is that done? So that's what he says. You should always be mar b'sholem imechov. Go out of your way where you're very good to your brethren and to your relatives and with every person, and even a nochri shebeshuk, even the non-Jew. And then you will be ohuv to Hashem, beloved to Hashem, and nechmad lamato, beloved to people. And then what you tell them, they will listen to. So this is a strategy. This is a plan. Omer Olova Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, and the great Rabbi Yechim and Zakai, Shleik Dima Odom Sholem Eilim. Nobody ever gave him Sholem first. He greeted everyone, and he wished them a good day before they had a chance to greet him. And even the goy, the non-Jew in the marketplace. And then Rabbi Yechim and Zakai became the great influencer. He became the person where everybody wanted to listen to him. They wanted to hear him. They wanted to do what he said. Didn't come just jumping at people and start to tell them what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do and to shout at him and so forth and so on and then expect results. He came with a plan. He came with a strategy. With a seichel. And this is what Shlomo HaMelech taught. So this is what Abaya called that la'ilom, always a person should be orum b'yira. He should be clever and cunning. Now we all know you have to be clever in business, you have to be cunning in secular pursuits, but he says no, in yiras Hashem, there you certainly have to, because there you have the most cunning force against you, and that's the Yetzer Hara. The Vilna Gaon wrote a letter to his family. This is a very famous letter. He had planned to go to Eretz Yisrael, and he was going to, so he was taking leave from his wife and children, grandchildren and so forth. And then he had planned to settle there and then bring the family over. It was aborted. Some reason he didn't go and he returned. States his son writes on the Vilna Gaon that almost everything he did, with very rare exceptions, I think he mentions three things, Shamayim, heaven agreed to it. This was one of the exceptions. Heaven did not want him to go to Eretz Yisrael. He lived in Vilna, he stayed in Vilna, he's buried there. But as he was going, before he thought he was leaving, and before he set out on the journey, he wrote a long letter to his wife and family, giving them instructions how they should act while he's away. And it became a very, very famous letter, where there are literally so many things that can be learned from it. A pirush was written on the letter by Rabbi Cheskel Sarno. Cheskel Sarno Zeche Tzadik Lebrocha, that was one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Lezer Gord, Rabbi Lezer Telzer, and later to become the Chevre Nosh Yeshiva. Now he writes, he says the letter, the Groh, the Gaon had the ability where, he said not only did he count his sentences, but even his words and even his letters. You never find an extra word or an extra letter in whatever the Gaon writes. And from one word you can learn so much. So therefore he says this is a letter that we should study very carefully, and he writes many, many comments on it. But he says in this letter, he writes this in his Agdoma, and then in the letter itself, he says there was a great principle that the Bisrael Salamta was Mechadish. He renewed it. He emphasized, which was not being emphasized at the time. He emphasized, and he taught it to his Talmidim. And he writes to his Talmidim on it. He's writing to the Bitzkok Blazer, that was the Rav of St. Petersburg. And he says, if we study this letter, we see that the Gaon also, Vilna Gaon, is also emphasizing this. And that's this principle. Rabbi Yisrael used to write, Michel Salanter lived in a time when the Haskalah, the Reform movement, was gaining momentum, especially in the West, Germany, Hungary. So the tension between Torah and its adversaries was becoming very strong. And Wiesel used to say that a person has to learn Torah, he has to learn from the Sifrei Musa V'Yira, he has to learn Musa and Yiras Hashem, but he said that's not enough. It's not enough. If he wants to achieve in the world, that's not enough. Why? Because he has a lot of Torah, he has a lot of Musa and Yiras Hashem, but he does not understand people, and therefore he does not understand how to give it over to others. In addition to the learning of Torah and the learning of Yirah, Rabbi Yisrael would say he has to be a boki, an expert in Chokhmah Sa'olam Mili De'Alma, in the ways of the world, the ways of people. Because if you don't understand human nature, you don't understand people, if you don't understand them at that particular time and that particular place, then all of your wisdom is useless if you're trying to give it over. In Tells, they used to refer to this as either Balidas or Seichel. With all of Torah and Chochmah, you have to have Das and Seichel, how to utilize it. And Rabbi Yisrael would bring the Gemara that we brought. That Abaye said, Leila Yehodom Orom B'Yira, that a person has, it's not enough that he is a Yiras Hashem, but he has to know how to create a plan and a plot and a strategy in order to utilize it and to bring it out. So he says this great principle, and he held this, Yisrael, as one of the great principles. So he says this is found in the Gros letter. The Gros writes, he said there's two problems with people who study Torah but not properly. He says there are those who study Torah and they read the Sifrei Yirah and Musa, but it doesn't go into them. And he gives an example. Those are people who try to plant seeds on rock. It's like the seeds won't go into the rock, and therefore they cannot bear fruit. If you study Torah, it says, V'hoyu hadvorim alevavchem. If you study Torah and it doesn't go into your heart, that's the same as planting seeds on a rock. He says, when a person studies, he says he has to study like you're beating a rock, beating hard soil. You have to learn and go over and over it again and again over it and try to understand it and try to bring it into your heart. If you bring it into your heart, then that's planting seeds in soil, and when you do that, it will give forth endless fruit. That's one problem. Then the Gaon says there's another problem. You have those that study Torah and they study Musa V'Yira, and it goes into their heart. So they're planting on a fertile soil. But he says, Bishvil yitziosim b'lei havona bein abriyas, but when they go out of the Beis HaMedrash and they go amongst people, but they do not understand the ways of people, ma'avedes hakol, they lose everything they have. They study, they learn, and it goes into them. But when they go out into the world between the people, and they have not learned people, human nature, how to deal with people, then they lose everything. What is that, he says? What's the example? That's the example, he says, of someone who plants without covering up the seed, and then the wind will blow it all away, or and the birds will eat it, or he plants and he doesn't put a fence around it, and then the animals come and they eat up the seeds. So this is the principle that Bechesko-sama says that the Gaon is referring to. That when we learn, the first thing is it should become part of us. But now if we want to make it part of others, then we have to understand others in order to know how to give fruit to others. When we plant, we must plant in a fertile soil. But then it has to be nurtured. It has to be covered up good. You have to put a fence around it. And it gives fruit. To give a few examples, there are many, many cases where the Chazal have cautioned us to this. And to give a few examples, we have, for example, states in Masechet Ovis, Al Tishkabel Roshu, that when you choose your friends, you should choose a friend carefully. You shouldn't choose a friend who's a Roshu, who's evil. Now, what are they telling us? Right. There's no Aveira, you're not doing any Aveira. But they're telling us that we have to be clever when it comes to Yiras Hashem. Many times, someone makes a good friend. He's a lot of fun to be with. You can get a lot of things from him one way or the other. It's a good association. But he's a Rosha. He's a bad person. So a person will think, look, I'm not doing any Aveira. That person is not being Oru B'Yiras Hashem. He's not being cunning with the Yetzer Hara. Because a bad friend is going to have a bad influence on you. Unless you're like Aaron and you're doing it to make him good. But otherwise he's going to have a bad influence on you, or he's going to have a bad influence on your children. Al Tishkabel Rosho. In other words, you have to have seichel and bino when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Harchek min shochin ra. The Chazal, the sages, told us further. Don't dwell in the places where there are a lot of rishoyim. When you want to find a neighborhood, or you want to find a city, the prime aspect that one should look for is what kind of people dwell there. Well, for example, the Chofetz Chaim writes, he says, we all know how far one must go, be careful when it comes to speaking Lashon Hara, or when it comes to listening to Lashon Hara. Yet, so the Chofetz Chaim writes, don't put yourself in a position where you'll speak Lashon Hara or you'll listen to Lashon Hara. Many times one will walk into an assembly of people. He says, people come to shul, they come before Mincha Shalashudis, Shabbos afternoon. You'll see some will go over to a group where they're learning. Others might go over to a group where they're singing zmiras. And others will go over to a group where people are talking. And what are they talking about? Oh, they're talking about things that maybe one shouldn't talk about. If a person does that, then this is going to lead to Lashon Hara. He says, many times you come into a simcha, a chasana, a bar mitzvah, and you're looking, where should you, who should you talk to? Where should you sit? So here the Chazal are telling us, be clever, be cunning. See who's there, and go stay by people who you know will be speaking in Divrei Torah or in Divrei Mitzvahs and Chesed, and you'll learn from them. But no, many people will go to others who you know that they will be speaking about Lashon Hara or other things, and through this you will come to Aveda. Why? Because you weren't Orem B'Yiras Hashem. You weren't clever when it came to dealing with serving to Hashem. Another such example. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Masechet Ovis, Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma. Rabbi Yosi ben Kisma, they wanted him to come to their city. And he said, even if you'll give me 1,000,000 pieces of gold and silver, I will not live in your city. I will only live in a city where there are Torah and Torah sages. Now generally, if somebody will offer someone a good contract to go somewhere, that would not be a consideration at all. This is a consideration. He said, afilu elef alfei din rezov, even 1,000,000 pieces of golden dinars. I will only live in a place where there is Torah and Torah sages, true Torah sages. Now the living itself is not the mitzvah, but he was being orum b'yiras Hashem. He was being clever when it came to yiras Hashem. Another such example, it states, La'elam al-tamei rodem b'mokom nisoyim. A person should never allow himself to stand, if possible, in a place of temptation. Being in a place of temptation is not an avera. But if a person is clever, then he will be clever before he's in the place of temptation. An example, many people tell you, look, I eat the wrong foods. I know I shouldn't eat this. I know I shouldn't eat this. It's not healthy. I eat too much. I know I shouldn't eat that much. Or these foods. Or I smoke or whatever it might be. So you ask them, well, why do you do it? Well, it's in the house. In the house, I have to do it. Says, "Al tamei b'mokom nishoyim." Don't allow it in the house. If you don't allow it in the house, you won't be tempted. The mitzvah might be not to eat something, but the cunningness is not to allow yourself in a situation where you'll be tempted to eat it. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell you. He told you don't eat. But if you allow yourself in a situation where you're tempted, then the Yetzirah has you in his hand. And it's 1,000 times more difficult to fulfill the mitzvah than if you use your seichel and your cunningness and you say, no, I'm not going there. I just know I'm ready to go there. I know. But al tamed odem b'mokom nishayim, don't put yourself in a place of where you will be tempted to do something which is not right. Well, you got a place where there are bale machlekes or bale loshen hora, and you're invited to go there. I'll go there and I won't talk loshen hora. Fine. But the orum b'yira, The clever one will say, I'm sorry, I'm not that good. I go there, I can't guarantee that I won't sit down and talk with them, Lashon Hara and Machlekes and whatnot. I won't go there. That's the Orem B'Yira, that's the one who's being clever. Another example. Stalik mina machlekes. Wherever possible, the Chazal tell us, stay far away from machlekes. Once you get involved in machlekes, it's like a fire. Who can control it? Stay far away. Harchek. Another example, it states, Le'elam yivcho levonov. It's a Gemara in Masechta Gedushin. Le'elam yivcho levnei melocha kal v'nekiyo. When it comes to choosing some type of profession or some type of vocation or skill for your son. So we have many considerations. You know, what's the first consideration we always have is what's something that will make money. And so on. The Chazal tell us is another consideration, very great consideration. You should always choose for your son a type of work, a malocha that's kala in the kiyo. A type of work that is easy, no mitzvah for him to kill himself in order to make a panosa. If you can teach him something where he can make a panosa where he doesn't have to kill himself, it's better. And the kiyo, clean. Question is, what does it mean, nekiyah? So Rabbi Nechanan says, nekiyah min hagezel. There are many, many types of works that constantly bring a person, lidei nisoyim, constantly bring a person to temptation of taking what's not his. There are many professions like that, many vocations. There's others that are not like that. It says that should be a prime consideration. Because even an honest person can become dishonest. He's in a certain type of business, and in this business everybody steals, or you have to steal to stay alive in the business or so on. So la'aylam, or there are certain businesses which certain types of malochos that there's more or less easy to keep Torah and mitzvahs with. There are others which are almost impossible. Therefore, Elam Yelamid Odem Esbonov Malocha Kalev Nekiyo. And another example, the Gemara brings. It says, Impoga b'menuvel zeh Moshkel beis hamidrash. The person is walking along, and all of a sudden, he's confronted by the Yetzer Hara. It's called menuvel zeh. All of a sudden, he's confronted by the Yetzer Hara. In other words, he has a tremendous desire to do something which is an aveira. So what should he do? So the Gemara tells us, Moshkei le-Beis HaMedrash, take him with you into the Beis HaMedrash. Go with him to the Beis HaMedrash and sit down and learn. This is the Yetzer. I was in Memphis. Actually, this Gemara, a number of years ago, I walked into the Beis HaMedrash of Rabbi Avigdor Miller. He should be well and strong. It was Shabbos afternoon. My brother lives not far from there, and he took me in there. It was Shabbos afternoon, so it was before Minchan. He was learning Gemara with a shir, and he was learning this Gemara in Brochus, heavy Orum, that way you should be cunning b'divrei Torah. Later on that same journey, I was in Memphis. This was my younger brother. I was in Memphis visiting my older brother. And there I met, there's a great Talmud Chacham by the name of Reb Nota Greenblatt. And so he told me, we were discussing this Gemara, and he asked the Kasha. It says, Impoga b'manuvel zeh, that if you are confronted one all of a sudden with the Yetzer Hara, Moshkeo le-Beis HaMedrash, take him with you into the Beis HaMedrash and learn Torah. He says, why does it say take him with you into the Beis HaMedrash? It should say run away from him into the Beis HaMedrash and go to the Beis HaMedrash. You should free yourself from him. All of a sudden he's grabbed you. Free yourself from him. And run to the Beis HaMedrash. Good kasha. So he gave a wonderful answer. He says, because it's not so easy to free yourself from the Yetzer Hara once he grabs you. Easier said than done. You're walking along, all of a sudden the Yetzer Hara has grabbed you. And you have an enormous desire to do something which is not right. What should you do? Can't free yourself from the basic, from the maneuver. So what you do is you tell the Yetzer Hara, look, I can't free myself from you, but come with me. We'll go together. Go together with him into the Beis HaMedrash and learn with him. What does this mean? Use the Yetzer Hara to get to the Beis HaMedrash. I'll give you an example. I remember a great Talmud Chacham once told me. He says when he was a little boy, he used to go every Shabbos afternoon to a shul where the Shamas used to learn with him and a few other boys. He says the Shamas would give anyone that came, he'd give them a big, beautiful, delicious apple. He says, truthfully, he says, I never went for the learning. I used to go for the apple. There he was using his Yetzer Hara in the Beis HaMedrash. You have to be cunning. Can't free yourself from the Yetzer Hara so easily. But you can plot with him. That's why, for example, the Gaon says you should always learn something. Don't learn something that's too difficult for you. Because if you learn something that's too difficult for you, then you'll leave it. You have to learn something that not only you enjoy, the Yetzer Hara also enjoys. If you tell your Yetzer Hara, look, the Beis HaMedrash, it's nice and warm, it's light, we'll learn something which you have a specific joy to learn, or we'll learn something that's easy today, we won't learn something that's hard today, and we'll go into this facet or so forth, then you can schlep the Yetzer Hara into the Beis HaMedrash and you learn with him. This is the Orum B'Divrei Torah. This is why it's so important where a person, when it comes to learning Torah, he has to enjoy it. He has to have simcha from it. It has to be from his best enjoyment. Because then the Yetzer Hara is also enjoying it, even though the Yetzer Hara doesn't enjoy that fact, but he's also enjoying it. There was once a, that's part and parcel of Torah. They once said over the story. The story I heard from, I've mentioned it a number of times, I've heard this story from the late Rav Goldberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rosh Yeshiva of Yavne, who heard it from the great Rav Futner, from Reb Yitzchok Blazer, that's Reb Yitzchok Petterberger, the Rav of Petersburg, from his Rebbetzin. Reb Yitzchok Petterberger was from the close Talmidim, the close circle to the Bishrael Salanter. And it came Elul. Elul's a time when you have to be serious. Elul's a time when you have to watch what you say and what you don't say very, very carefully. So there was a group of Talmidim, of students from Bishrael Salanter, that they said, look, let's go out of the yeshiva. I think this took place in Vilna. And we'll find a Beis HaMedrash in the corner of the city. And that's where we'll learn for the month of Elul, a small group. And then we won't have to see so many people, and we won't have to interrupt ourselves so much, and we won't have to talk to so many people, and then there's less chance that we will say Lashon Hara and so forth and so on. So they did that. Israel, he noticed that they weren't coming to the yeshiva after a while, so he asked about it. So they told him, the others told him what they're planning on doing. And these were great Talmidim. So one day he decides he'll go there to see what's happening. So he goes to visit. He came back. They asked him, what did you see? He says, what did you see? So he answered. See, the idea is they should learn Torah kula lishma. Should be Torah only for the sake of Hashem and of Torah. So he came back and he said, Lishma ikizein. Torah nishkizein. Lishma I saw. Torah I didn't see. In other words, sincerity, earnestness, honesty, altruism, this I saw, but Torah I didn't see. Because Torah has to be part of the person. And in order, it has to be part of the entire person. And the entire person is together with the Yetzer Hara. He has to put his Yetzer Hara into the learning, where he has great simcha from it, and great enjoyment from it. And he feels a personal achievement also from it. So that's what he said. He said they have achieved lishma, without a doubt. Altruism, sincerity, earnestness, dedication, conscientiousness, everything. But Torah they have not achieved. Because they have not moshchel bebeis hamedrash. Now this is the cunningness. This is the orum. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, when it comes to the mitzvah of Torah, he wants the entire orum with all of his force in there. And that he can do only with the help of the Yetzer Hara. In general, the Chazal said, and this came also from Shlomo HaMelech, the Chazal said, the cunningness is Harei Esanelet. See, in Tells they would always say, to come to greatness in Torah, you have to have Torah, but you have to be a Chochem also. And that's Harei Esanelet. A person must always look forward. You can't go around shouting and instructing and telling. No. You have to always look forward to see what will come out. What will come out of his action? What will come out of what he says? What will come out of what he does not say? Then he must take action. Hareyas anelet. And where do we learn that from? That's from Apostle in Kehelis, where Shlomo HaMelech said, Chochom. Who's a Chochom? Einav bereishu. Where his eyes are in front of his head. He's looking forward. He must look forward to see what the ramifications, the long-term ramifications are in what he says. Hillel is the one who said this. Hillel brought this heavy mitamid of Shel Aaron HaKohen. Hillel wasn't a Kohen, but he said, this is something we all can learn. And we see this was Hillel's midah. The Gemara brings him a Masechta Shabbos Daf Lamed Aleph. It brings three cases. Maize benochri echad shebolif nei Shammai. A goy came to Shammai. And he said, how many tares do you have? She said, we have two. Written law and oral law. So he said, the written law I'll believe in. The oral law I do not believe in. Be megayer me. I want to become a Jew. Be megayer me. But I'll only accept the written law. Go arbei. The yitzir ben azifa. So Shammai got angry and he ran him out of the Beis HaMedrash. Came to Hillel. Hillel said, fine. He said, come back, I'll start teaching you. He taught him Aleph Beis, Gimel Dalet. He said, come back the next day. The next day he changed the letters. The Aleph, he says, was a Dalet. The Beis, he said, was a Gimel. So he said, you told me this yesterday. He says, no. He said, this is an Aleph, this is a Beis. So Hillel said, how do you know? He says, because this is what you told me. Oh, you believe in me what I told you? So he says, believe me also that the Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, is also the true Torah. And eventually he accepted the whole Torah. Second case, came to Shammai and said, be megayer me while I stand on one foot. Teach me the entire Torah. Shammai drove him out. Hillel said, fine. And he says, whatever is hated unto you, do not do to your friend. This is the entire Torah, and the rest is just commentary. Go and learn the commentary. And eventually he made him into a ger. A third case, a non-Jew came and he said, when he heard about the beautiful clothing of the Kohen Gadol, he said, I want to become a Jew so I can wear the garments of the Kohen Gadol. He went to Shammai and Shammai chased him out. He came to Hillel, he said, fine. And he started to teach him and instruct him. One day he found out that nobody can wear the garments of the Kohen Gadol unless you're from the children of Aaron. Even David HaMelech, King David, cannot. And he started to weep. And he came to Hillel and he came to Shammai and they said, yes, nobody can wear it. Eventually, he became a total ger. When these three people met, so they said, they gave a great brocha to Hillel, and they said that it was the kapdanusai of Shammai, it was the strictness of Shammai that almost drove us out of the world. It was invenusam shel Hillel, but the humility and tolerance of Hillel that brought us tachas kanfei Hashchina, that brought us under the wings of the Shechina, of Hashem. Now, Tosfos asked the question in Rashi that the halacha is that if a ger comes and he wants to become a convert, he has to accept upon himself to do the entire Torah, just like by Yisrael when they came to Har Sinai, Nase v'nishma, we will do whatever you command us. If a ger will tell you that I will accept this and this and this mitzvah, but this mitzvah I won't accept, you cannot accept him. So how did Hillel accept these three? This one said, I want to learn the Torah only on one foot, and the other one said, I only accept the written law, and the other one says that I want to only on the condition I'll become the Kohen Gadol and wear the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. So the answer that Hillel could foresee, naturally he sat down and he spoke to these people and he could foresee that this was an individual under the right care and under the right instruction, he can get him to become a Ger Gomer where he will accept the entire Torah. So Hillel himself, this is how he approached Torah, with great cunningness and with great Orm. Just one final little story. I was once by visiting the Rebbetzin of the late Rebbe Elimea Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rebbe Elimea was the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, the one who reestablished Telz in America, together with his brother-in-law Reb Mordechai Katz. So she was telling me that she said, now he had remarried. See, he lost his family in the Holocaust and he had remarried. She was telling me that not only he was so great in Torah, but he was so clever. She said, for example, there was a time when there was a member of her family, it was a grandnephew or some member, had the parents became sick or something happened, and they took that child into their home. They were in later age already, but they took that child into their home. And she had other children in the meantime with Rebbe Elimea. And this child's upbringing, though, was not that of such a religious upbringing. So they took him into his home. He was a little boy, and he wouldn't wear a yarmulke. She used to give him a yarmulke and throw it off. And she became very upset because Rebbe Elimea was from the Gedele Israel, Gedele America, and Gedelim would come, great Rabbonim and Gedelim, and here a little child in their house has been growing up in their house without a yarmulke. So she used to shout at him and tell him he must wear and he has to wear. And she said, Rebbe Elimea said, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Don't do anything. He'll grow up with the other children in the house. He'll see they all wear yarmulkes. Eventually, he'll put a yarmulke on himself. And kachoyu, that's what happened. So she was telling me, not only was he so great in Torah, when as a clue, he was so clever. This is what we're speaking about. So this is what we learned from Aaron, that not only did he have the quality of Shalom, but he knew how to bring it around. And this is from the Gemara in Masechta Brachos, Le'elam ye odem orum b'yira, from the Pasuk in Shlema Melech, Manerach Yoshiv Chema, that when someone speaks harshly to you in anger, with anger, answer him softly, and then you will diffuse the anger.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.